What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 37 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Welcome to Wayne's World. If you listened to the Slam Tilt podcast, you will know that you are not a legitimate podcaster until you own a Stern Stars. That's correct. So a couple of months ago, I made myself a legitimate podcaster. It does not take 30-some-odd episodes of experience. It takes a Stars. So I got the machine, and it was not local, and that's fun. So there's a story behind just getting the game. So, and I might have even told this before, because I don't even remember what I said since the last time I've been on, because it's been that long. Yeah, fail on my part. I told you I was going to be a little bit more consistent. Nope. So fast-tracking through this story, we're going to try. All right, so I wanted a Stars, and since there's like two in Arizona that I know of, and those probably will never be for sale, nor should they be for sale, I was looking elsewhere, and so one popped up out of state. It was in Louisville, Kentucky, and they were not willing to ship because they have had bad shipping experiences, haven't we all? I'm 0 for 1 prior to this on shipping machines, right? You know, everybody remembers Attack from Mars, right? So, I didn't begrudge them at all about that. I did ask if an acquaintance could pick it up instead, because they have no issue shipping to me. And they were like, yeah, that's cool. So paid for the game. Buddy made a little road trip, went and picked it up, brought it back to his house, shipped out of his house, and it came here. And it did so much better than Attack from Mars did. It was awesome. You know, that's always nice when you show up and they're unloading the game and you're just like, oh, wow, the glass is intact. Oh, look, the back glass is intact. Nothing on the cabinet is royally destroyed. You know, all those pleasant things that, you know, you get to deal with a claims form and all that stuff. So anyways, this was a highly successful trip and I was very happy about that. And let's see, I think it was supposed to be a work day that it showed up, and my wife was off, and I was not, and I was not going to go into work until the game showed up. So anyway, so the game shows up, and I'm setting it up out on the front patio area because I didn't have any place to put it inside at the time. Nothing convenient anyways that wouldn't block walkways or whatever. So I set it up outside, and I played a little bit on it. There was a few issues in the beginning. Can't remember, but it booted right up. Everything was good. There was a ball in there, so I bounced that around for a little bit. The first thing I do is I always check to make sure, you know, the ball's not completely hosed. And this one actually looked really fresh along with the rubber. So I have a feeling it was recently looked at and all the consumables replaced as needed. And so that was fun. And then, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes later, I come inside and Kim's like, you going to work today? Like, do I have to? So eventually, went to work, took a little time, made a little space inside and moved the game inside and left the shop vac out there because I forgot about that because like 2 weeks later, I was like, where's my little shop vac? And she's like, is it still out on the front porch where you left it? And yep, sure enough, there it was. So anywho. I'm glad that was still there. Stars, it was good. I wasn't expecting to put it on location right away. You know, I was almost expecting something to go catastrophically wrong. But nothing was too bad. However, through my play testing, I did come up with a little list of things that needed to be addressed. So all in all, the game played great. But it was not, I don't want to say reliable because it was reliable. It had a few minor details that I wanted to touch upon. Some of them inconsequential, some of them major annoyances. So, let's see. The first thing that I noticed right off the bat was the left spinner was not registering. And that's bad because that's why you buy Stars is because they're spinners and spinners are awesome. And also player one display was completely goobered. So I swapped that out with player four display. And, if you see it now, you'll be like, I thought this one was the good display. Cause every now and then I think like the hundreds digits gets all, you know, pixelated, does the old CRT snow screen thingy where it's like blah, 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 just, you know, digits everywhere. Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. The left spinner, I don't know why it wasn't affecting anything else in the switch matrix. I can't remember if it was the row or the column, but either way, I was in there and I was probing for continuity with the multimeter, and just me pressing on the contact in the board made everything a little bit more tight, and then it just started working, and it has worked ever since. So I think what happened is on my multimeter, on the probes, they get to a pretty fine point. They're actually really sharp. And I think that indented enough that it's now making good solid contact. I'm sure everybody that deals with classic Bally's and Stearns is like, well, duh, why didn't you repin all those connectors? That's like rule number two, aside from changing out the battery, which is rule number one, getting rid of the battery, or just, yeah, get the old battery off there. Because the old rechargeable battery that was made in 78, so it's old enough now that it's probably just like, hey, I'm waiting to explode, just turn around. So yeah, anyways, left spinner, after troubleshooting that a little bit, after a few like, what the heck, you know, type moments, yeah, just kind of lucked into the fix on that one. The little beehive shooter housing, that was loose, which, okay, it doesn't have a whole lot of room to wiggle around, but that was kind of funny. So anyways, that was like 30 seconds with a screwdriver. But that was like the last thing I fixed, because it's like, yeah, I know what the fix is for that. It's not the end of the world. I'll deal with that after I'm done ripping my hair out on some of these other issues. One fun thing is all the plating had, and I don't think it was chrome, it's probably nickel plating on the shooter rod. That has all come off. And I don't know if it's due to corrosion or just, you know, that's a friction point on that sleeve. And eventually, if you start gouging at that, then it just kind of wears away at the first sign of what is that? Like, just wear, really. I mean, it's such a thin coating. You know, I've dealt with that with paintball guns, whether it's nickel coating or anodized or anything like that. Once you get a little scratch in it like that, if it's a plating, it'll just start to erode away from that point. Anodized is kind of different because it's actually chemically adjusting the metal throughout, so it's not like it's just a piece of frosting on the pie or whatever. so anyways, that was kind of fun because I was looking at it. I was like, where can I get a new one of these? Because it's not the typical Williams shooter rod that has the little E-clip at the very end. It actually has the E-clip like halfway up, and the spring is much shorter. So it's just kind of weird, and not a whole lot of parts information available on that one. So what I ended up doing is I put that in my lathe, and I turned it down so that, not with a turning tool or anything, but with like some really fine sandpaper, and I just removed the rest of the plating and whatever. I mean, it's a dry heat, right? That thing's never going to rust out here. But I also hit the little knob area, cause that was a raw metal at that point. Anyways, I hit that with that same sandpaper. And so now it's got a little bit of cleanliness to it. It looks kind of nice. One thing that was really interesting and not super obvious until I had an incident where I was staring straight at it is, one of the posts was like leaning way back. So on your slingshot arrangement, you've got three posts that typically at least two of those are holding the plastic on. But that's where your band goes. It forms kind of a triangle. Well, the lower one on the left-hand side was like leaning back by at least, I don't know, 30 degrees, right? And I'm looking at it. I'm like, so wait, like how messed up is this? So I took it all apart and kind of inspected the hole. And the hole had been worn out into more of a slot than a hole. So nothing a little wood glue and a toothpick can't fix. So the method on that is you kind of clean out the hole as much you can, whatever wood shavings or whatever is still in there. You put the toothpick in there till it bottoms out, and hopefully it bottoms out, because otherwise then you kind of just have this floating thing that it's fine either way. But just so you know, like the approximate length that you're going to need. And I don't mark it or anything, but I kind of keep my thumbnail on it so I know about how much glue to put on there. And then you just put a little bead of glue on there, wood glue, put it in the hole, and you kind of, you know, mess it around a little bit. And then I pushed it towards the back because that was the section that the wood had eroded away from. And then I just put everything back together. I did not play it. I don't even think I put the band on it quite yet. I gave it at least a day and a half, 2 days, until I put the rubber band back on there. And, yeah, you would never know now. And I'm really happy that's the case because that was a nice little easy fix. Let's see. The next line item is it didn't come with a lock, which, whatever. I wouldn't expect it to. Well, not that I wouldn't expect it to, but I wasn't going to reuse that lock anyways because I have two sets of locks with the keys that go along with it. And I don't need a whole key ring full of random locks, and I have to try to remember where everything goes. Oh yeah, the coin mix. Okay, so this goes along with another line item this is the most puzzling and really most annoying thing, because for a while the coin mix were not registering consistently, and sometimes they would work great for long strings of, you know, attempts, and then they would just stop working for an equal amount of attempts, and it's like, oh, what's going on here? And at first, so on one side, at first, the coins weren't even going through. And it looked like there was a misalignment between the coin chute and the actual coin mech. And I think that was the case. But since it's all metal, like, I just bent it back a little bit. So I think it just got knocked out of alignment. And since it's probably been in a home use for a while, then whatever. They didn't really notice. Because the next line item is I had to set the pricing on it. And an interesting thing I noticed right away was that when I first set it up to play it, when I put coins in, it didn't seem to do anything. Like, it made the sound, but it didn't really do anything. So I pressed the start button more times than I had thought I had added credits on there, you know, after every game, and it just kept playing a game and playing a game and playing a game. And if you're familiar, yet again, with classic Bally's and Stearns, you know, there's no free play setting. So I'm sitting here going, well, let's look at the chip, you know? So I open it up and I looked at it and it's like, well, it doesn't have like a modern label on it saying, you know, like custom code or, you know, just anything indicated it was less than 40 years old. It just looked like all the other chips. So what do? You hit the internet, and thankfully, Pinside, somebody was able to see that and recognize that there's a chance that that's kind of a semi-custom ROM or whatever, I think just to add free play. I think it was Switch 20, and that was a do you want to show credits or not option, I think. And yeah, that had been changed to, hey, do you want to have free play on here? So sure enough, I set that to off, and boom, all of a sudden the coins are doing their thing, adding credits, life is great, and we're one step closer to location play. And it didn't come, I don't want to say it didn't come with LEDs like I was expecting it to. Hey, no, the pictures and description didn't say anything. But that's one thing I do to all my games, and if you're a purist, I don't care. When they're out on location, they're on for at least 10, 12 hours a day some days, and I don't really want to be melting 40-year-old plastics for incandescence so that I can have a yellowish tint to my game. Sorry, don't care. So what am I going to do? I'm going to put LEDs in the GI at least. So I happen to have one of those boards that allows you to use all LEDs, even in the inserts, and they don't get all boogered up. So yeah, that was kind of nice. I happen to have a healthy supply at the time, not anymore, of Comet LEDs. I used the two SMD, the cool whites with the frosted lens, and I pretty much put those everywhere. That used to be my GI choice, and now it's my everything choice, so I don't have to worry about supplies of any other colors. So, yeah. Shout out to Comet. Love those guys. And that bulb's the best. Use that one. That's... So, in this game, the Transformer is up in the head. It's right underneath the rectifier board that everybody loves so, so, so much. And if you're not laughing, you've never worked on one. So it's surrounded on the four sides Two sides have the cabinet protecting it, and then the front and the left side, there's this little perforated cage-looking thing, and it was buzzing like crazy. And I've seen games come with that, and I've seen games come without it. Doodlebug actually has a very ornate-looking cage of some sort, but this is just very simple cage to, you know, signify, don't touch this. So yeah, and that was buzzing, and there's a couple different fastening points, and either the fasteners have fallen out, or it had just broken loose, or something. So I fixed that, because that was really annoying, because it wasn't just like a mild hum, like most Transformers do at all times. It would get really random, and that's, you know, Stern Stars is hard enough. Let's not distract yourself with, God, that's annoying, make it stop, you know, after the glass is in already, and you're like trying to survive a ball or whatever. So yeah, fix that, because that was, I think that was actually probably the first thing I fixed, even though it's so far down on the list. I was just like playing the game and making the list, but that was, you know, I said earlier, hey, that's a quick and easy fix. Let's save it till last. And you know what? This was a quick and easy fix too. The difference is one's annoying, so let's fix that one now. I was also getting some phantom 10-point hits, and 10 points are not really, you know, all that valuable except for maybe like the match in this game, but I was just getting 10 points when it would go into the shooter lane and at random times. Found it was just one of those switches behind a band that was too tight, and fixed that up pretty easily. For a while, actually, none of those were scoring, and that was because it was touching all the time, and so it never resets the circuit, and, you know, whatever. Also, it was there. I was getting some coin jams, which that just relates to the whole coin shoot thing being bent and out of whack. So, anyways, okay, so the reason why Stars was not out right away is because I was dealing with high speed. And so high speed, I have two high speed machines, and the more pleasant looking one, Playfield anyways, that was put back together because all the topside stuff had been taken apart because Robert was going to sand all that off and do an overlay and, you know, decals on the inserts and then clear coat it and put it all back together. And then the hard top thing came out, and then found out that high speed was on the list. And so we waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and still wait. So, and I was just like, you know what? I have two of these things. One of them is actually pretty presentable. So let's just get it out there and free up space in the work area. So let's see. I don't even remember what was wrong with it. There's a few things that I fixed. Oh, yeah. There was two fuses that were blown on the power supply board. And I think they were either the seven, they're either 7 or 8 amps. They run in tandem. I don't remember what they do, but I blew more fuses, so I just got circuit breakers and troubleshot that thing and rebuilt some stuff, and life was great, right? So I played at least like 50 games after it was fixed, put it out at TISC, and let's see, Ben was playing it, and I don't know, maybe 5 test games in or so, it starts freezing and playing these really drawn-out sounds. And a couple of them were really cool. When the siren was going, that was really cool. There was another, I can't remember the sound sequence, but it sounded like the ghost car, the ghost level in Mario Kart. And it was all like, but like, it was cool. And I was like, I should have recorded that, because that was kind of a cool, trippy sound. So anyways, yeah, high speed was no bueno. And then, so I was like, okay, so I'll just take high speed home, bring Stars there. I was finally able to do that, brought high speed home, worked on it, thought I fixed it, you know, thought that's some foreshadowing right there. I fixed the stupid thing and brought it back out, and it survived like a day before it started doing, you know, other dumb stuff. And it's like, oh, really? You know? So now, so current status, both Stars and High Speed are down at the rink. It's like, oh, of course. So Stars was great. And Stars actually is like a quarter magnet. I love you guys. Thank you very much. Because that was, you know, I paid 50% of what I paid for the game just to ship it here. So, yeah, that's how much I love you guys. So anyways, Stars will be doing just fine as soon as I can figure out why the flippers don't work. Yeah, so on that type of game, they have a relay specifically to energize the flipper coils and the cabinet buttons and everything. And I haven't figured out exactly what the issue is. I did a little bit more research over this last week, and I have some more steps to go. But here's what I know for all you Pentex out there going, it's this, ding-dong. So I tested Q15, and that's in diode mode, and that is matching up just fine compared to other diodes that are, or other transistors that are working. I have power to the coils. I do not have power to the cabinet buttons. So at this point, I think there's one of those, the 156 headers, I think there's a little bit of continuity issue going on there. So I'm going to get out there with my multimeter and buzz around and find out where the break is and probably redo some headers. Yeah, you can say I told you so now, even though it's the wrong board. It's a different board than what most people do. They do the smaller ones on the switch, that bottom left board, whatever that is. Oh, boy. So, yay, right? You know, it just happens to come at a time that two games are down, were down, at Lazy Days and F14. Okay, so here's a funny story. Okay, so every time I go there, F14 is off. Every single time. So I'm like, okay, is there a ball stuck? Because sometimes there had been. And, you know, turn the game on. Point it up, press start, expecting it to say pinball missing, because, hey, that's clue number one, that there's a ball missing. Nope, starts the game right up, kicks one out on the shooter, life is good. Hit the flipper buttons a few times, all of them work. Okay, step two, that's good. Plunge the ball, and just kind of batted around for a little bit, and everything's fine. So what's going on? Well, it thinks there's a couple switch issues. One of them is a slingshot switch, which, I could probably address at some point, but typically I don't have a ton of time when I'm at Lazy Days, and I like to check on each one of the games just to make sure that there's not a we are shut down type of error, you know. But anyways, every time you turn the game on and there's a switch issue, it hits the knocker 5 times. And not to say that they turn the games on and off, but apparently when you're about to start multiball or in multiball, it's really loud. And so I ran into the events coordinator, finally ran into this lady, because apparently she's seasonal, and Robert had been the one interfacing with Lazy Days the most. So anyway, so ran into this lady right before she's about to start, like, this little kids, not a tournament, but, like, kind of a group play session on the pinball machines. And I'm like, hey, that's cool, you know, nice to meet you. And we exchanged numbers so that if there's an issue, she can just reach out to me directly. So that's awesome. So in our little chatting that we were, that we were doing, I said, this game's off a lot. It's working. I'm confused. She's like, oh yeah, that one's really loud, and our finance manager is on the other side of that wall. And so I was like, oh, okay. Because apparently, Mike goes everywhere to play, and there's a couple other folks that go out there to play, I guess, and they know how to turn pinball machines on because they either know what they're doing or they own a few. And every time you turn it on, it knocks 5 times extremely loud for every switch issue you have. And recently, Yagov has been being troublesome again. That was, like, the biggest gremlin I had to track down when it was at my house, and I was teching it the first time around. So anyways, that thing just, like, knocks all over the place when you turn it on, and apparently it's very distracting. So I said, hey, I completely understand. I will get you a quieter game ready, and we'll swap these out as soon as I can. Anyone that knows about the car saga, my car, I've been dragging that through life for the last, you know, it's probably been time to replace that for a couple years now, at my wife's urging, but I have resisted strongly because I like that car. It's a great pin hauler. Anyways, 2004 Ford Escape. It's got like 218,000 miles on it, something like that. And it's died several times in the last several weeks. You know, this is a couple weeks ago now, telling the story from. And, so it died on the way to work, just kind of out of nowhere. So I was able to limp it into a parking lot at the high school that's on the way. Left it there for a couple days because, of course, we're going up to Phoenix. And we come home from Phoenix with a new vehicle. And so now I have a Dodge Journey. because that was the arrangement. And I have, so I've got Kim's old car. It's Dodge Journey, great vehicle, doesn't hold a pin. So yeah. So used Dad's truck, swapped out, did the Stars high speed shuffle, and yeah, we'll have to find another time to do some game swapping over at Lazy Days. So outside of that, yeah, you know, nothing else going on, right? Everybody's bored with life, you know. You got nothing going on, right? Right. How many more days till Christmas, right? Yeah. So, anyways, that's all the fun that's been going on the last couple of weeks. The last couple of months, I have zero excuses. I've just been lazy or something. Sorry. But I have a couple more shows coming up. I actually, the end of the year finished for me being Tucson Pinball LLC, ended on the 15th of this month, thanks to the city of Tucson and the weird way they like to do their calendars. So that's how we're structured. The month ends on the 15th. And so I have the year-end totals, and we're going to have a little fun with doing a little ranking game and some considerations and conversations about that. So that's coming up in a future episode. I've been thinking about it a long time. I've been staring at it for weeks, and I'm like, I want to talk about this game and why it's, you know, so much better than this game in the earnings, or why this one sucks, you know? But just haven't been able to because, hey, the time's not up. But now guess what? The time's up, so it's going to be a future episode, and that might be the next one. I just have to do a little bit of sorting. We had lots of games on the list this year, and some of them are going to surprise you where they landed, and some of them won't. Either way, it's going to be fun. So till then, catch you then, and party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.